Boris Johnson heads back to work just 2 weeks after leaving intensive care for coronavirus treatment. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Speaking outside Downing Street this morning, after more than 3 weeks off to recover from COVID-19, Boris Johnson said while the UK is turning a corner, this is still a moment of maximum risk.
I can see the long-term consequences of lockdown as clearly as anyone. And yet we must also recognise the risk of a second spike, the risk of losing control of that virus, because that would mean not only a new wave of death and disease, but also an economic disaster.
Mr. Johnson's comments come amid increased pressure from members of his party and the public to ease the nation's lockdown. The BBC's Ian Watson reports that's top of mind for the Prime Minister as he gets back to business today.
Boris Johnson will chair a meeting of senior cabinet ministers and advisers, but the Prime Minister is initially likely only to modify and not to remove restrictions. So, behind closed doors, ministers are discussing measures such as potentially allowing a wider range of shops and businesses to open if effective social distancing measures can be put in place.
Meanwhile, other European nations are taking their first steps toward easing national lockdowns. We'll take you around the continent now with the first stop in Spain and an update from the BBC's Damian Grammaticus.
Spain has had one of the tightest lockdowns across Europe. For 6 weeks now, children have been inside since schools were closed. Spain's Prime Minister has urged families to be cautious. Adults are still not allowed out to exercise in Spain. They can only go to the shops or to do essential work. But the Prime Minister says if the rate of infections continues to decline, then exercise outdoors should be allowed from next weekend.
Now let's go to the BBC's Damian McGuinness in Berlin.
For the first time in Germany, face masks are becoming a normal part of daily life. Anyone travelling on public transport now has to wear one or use a scarf or piece of cloth. In most of Germany, the rule also applies in shops. But this has created a huge demand in face masks. Suppliers say they are running out, and there are worries that this could take masks away from hospitals and care homes. So the government is planning to manufacture millions of them here in Germany. We go next to Switzerland and the BBC's Imogen Folks.
Swiss garden centres and hairdressers will be allowed to open. Schools and non-food shops should follow on May 11th, then museums and libraries on June 8th. It's a first modest step towards easing restrictions, but each step rests on the success of the last. If cases of the virus rise again, the whole process will be delayed. Restrictions may be reimposed. The ban on groups of more than five remains. So too does the instruction to work from home. There is no date for bars and restaurants to reopen. In Bern, I'm the BBC's Imogen Folks for Marketplace.
Over in financial markets, European airline stocks are popping as EU tourism ministers meet today to discuss measures to alleviate some coronavirus pressure on the industry. That comes as Airbus's boss warned the plane maker is bleeding cash and has told its thousands of employees to prepare for deep job cuts. Japan's Nikkei, meanwhile, jumped 2.7% after the country's central bank said there are no limits to the number of government bonds it will buy to keep borrowing costs low. And oil prices are falling again as worries about storage capacity persist. To Bangladesh now, where hundreds of garment factories defied national lockdown orders and reopened on Sunday. The country is the second biggest manufacturer of garments in the world, but as the BBC's Manuela Saragossa explains, it's reeling from a mounting pile of cancelled orders from Western retailers.
The sound of female garment workers there protesting on the streets of Dhaka in Bangladesh.
We would like to tell the foreign buyers, when the coronavirus is over, give us more work so we can survive.
Mosamat Shamoli Begum is a garment worker in Bangladesh. She makes clothes in a factory that supplies fashion companies in the developed world. But those clothing companies have now cancelled their contracts with Mosamat's employer, which means there's no work for her.
We came down on the street as we are hungry and have nothing left to eat.
There are millions more like Mosamat because Bangladesh's garment sector is one of the country's biggest employers. but a survey of nearly 300 Bangladeshi garment suppliers by the Workers' Rights Consortium and Penn State University found that Western retailers have been using force majeure clauses in their contracts to cancel or suspend orders. David Hassanat is the chairman of the clothing factory Vialatex in Bangladesh. He's had orders cancelled too and shut his factory as a result. He's trying to support his laid-off workers, all 16,000 of them, but the money is running out and he's reluctant to accept emergency loans from his government.
If we can't start the factory, I mean, how can we pay this loan? I mean, how can we pay back this amount to government? And same time, we have huge amount of back-to-back liability, the raw materials for the production, which is now lying in my factory.
David Hassanat told me he's worried international orders may never come back and that what he's seeing happen is globalization going into reverse. Professor David Simchi Levi is at MIT. He's an expert in global supply chains, and he says there's evidence that buyers in the developed world are reevaluating their global supply chains.
It means first to focus on supply chain restructuring. I think putting all your eggs in one country and one region can be extremely risky.
Back in Bangladesh, the government has pledged to help those who've lost their jobs. But as is the case in many other low-income countries, the logistics aren't always there to make sure that aid and financial help is getting through to the people who need it most. I'm the BBC's Manuela Zaragoza for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.